Good afternoon. This is Dr. John Paul, along with Minister Linda. We come to you through Life Saving Ministries to bring you another great Bible study that we believe will impact you greatly and play an important aspect in your lives. For those who are believers, it'll be a refresher, renewal study. For those who don't believe, hopefully you will gain an insight in why you should believe. And ladies and gentlemen, before we begin, let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you today, thanking you again for the many blessings that you continue to provide for us in our daily lives, especially for the provision of shielding us from this dreaded disease of COVID-19. Father, we just thank you for watching carefully over us. Now, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to come and be among us and bring to life the theme, the story, the words, the thoughts that you would have us to hear today that comes from your living word. In Jesus' blessed and holy name we pray. Amen. I would like to begin today's study in chapter 2 of Ephesians. That's in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, centering our attentions on 8, 9, and 10. As we begin, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversion in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. Grace you were saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "For by grace ye are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Bless the reading of his holy word. Amen. Today, we're going to be talking about grace through faith that saves us, and it is a gift of God, not of ourselves. You know, man is terribly sick and needs to be healed. No, man is dead and he needs life. We need to understand that it's not just that something is wrong. It's something that is drastically wrong, radically wrong. We are dead. If we're without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are dead. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." The wages of sin, you see, the reason we're dead in that we're sinners, who would stand up and deny that he hath broken God's laws. We know we have. And as according to Ezekiel 10:20, it says, "That soul that is sinneth, it shall die." We have a sinful nature. We inherited it from our parents, they from theirs, and they from Adam. That's also known as the Adamic sin nature. David the psalmist said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." That doesn't mean that she was a sinner when she conceived him. It means that he or she was conceived with a sinful nature, and that nature was a permanent part of him. We also are born into sin and therefore death. Now, you may say, "Well, how can I be dead? I'm still existing. I'm standing here living and breathing." But death is not the separation of the soul from the body. Death is the separation of the soul from God. We don't get the idea we have to be saved to have eternal existence. We already have eternal existence. We will exist somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. You see, we have an everlasting existence, but we don't have everlasting life until we have Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He also said he came that we might have life and have it abundantly, John 10:10. Now, that we realize we are dead, what can be done? Let's suppose we have a dead man, and we decide we're going to raise him. Can we do it? Well, let's find an athlete, and he can do some push-ups in front of him, maybe do some knee bends. We'll give the dead man an example of what life is like. You think that'll raise him from the dead? No, that won't work. Neither will a scholar, or neither with anybody else, with full compassion to encourage it. We don't and cannot worry about the environment. We must have an example. And that example was Jesus Christ, who came from the heavens above. The Father sent his Son down here to save us from our many sins. I'd like to stop just for a minute and let you listen to a song that I think will complement what we're seeing here. It says, from Carol Robertson, How Can Anyone Not Believe?
How can anyone not believe in the Lord? How can they reject His love? After all the wonders the good Lord has done, how can anyone not believe? How can anyone not receive His gift after He died on the tree? Life everlasting in heaven above, how can anyone not believe? The Lord is waiting and ready to forgive. His mercy endureth forever. The faith of a child in Jesus today, how can anyone turn away? After all the wonders the good Lord has done, how can anyone not believe? The Lord is waiting, ready to forgive. His mercy endureth forever. The faith of a child in Jesus today, how can anyone? All the wonders the good Lord has done, how can anyone not believe?
You know, that is so true. How cannot anyone believe when there's so much evidence and so much information available to us today? This information that we have coming from the Scripture that has told us over and over through the ages that it is true, things that have come to pass over and over again, that's been predicted, that the Bible has said it's going to happen, has taken place. But you know, I'd like for you to think back with me just a minute on this thing about wages of sin. You know, there's basically three deaths that people don't realize. There's a spiritual death, there's a natural death, and then there is also a final eternal death. The wages of sin is a spiritual death. Just as sin separated man from God spiritually and drove him from the presence of God out of the Garden of Eden, so sin will separate you from God. That's out of Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. The only way back to God is to confess your sins and to Him, in 1 John 1:9, and forsake your sins, Isaiah 55:7, that ye may be restored to fellowship with God. The wages of sin is also a physical death. Physical death is the result of sin. Death hath no claim on man until man sinned. Now all die, because all are in sin. Death is universal, and since we have a universal effect, we must have a universal cause, and that cause is universal sin. All men die, the good and the bad, the young and the old, and man will continue to die until death is destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it can be swallowed up in victory, according to 1 Corinthians 15:54-57. Third, the wages of sin is an eternal death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. This is eternal separation from the love of God, Revelation 20:14. Once the soul passes beyond the portal of hell, he is lost and lost forever. In other words, if you don't come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be lost forever, and you will be caught up in hell's fire and brimstone. You know, that person will continue to exist, but without hope. That person is damned and damned to all eternity. Eternal death is an eternal separation from God Almighty. You know, looking at this thing of grace of God saves us forever, out of Romans 8:38-39. The grace of God is unconditional. That is, we are not saved on the condition that we hold out or own to anything until the end, and that we fail not, or that we do our best. We're saved by the grace of God, apart from the works. We cannot work, earn anything about salvation. It is a gift of God, according to Ephesians 2:8-9. We'll get back to that in a little bit. The grace of God is sufficient, 2 Corinthians 12:9. The grace of God makes no discrimination, Revelation 22:17. The grace of God justifies, Romans 3:23-24. The grace of God makes every believer an heir. That's out of Titus 3:7. The grace of God teaches the believer how to live, in Titus 2:11-12. The grace of God is nothing less than the unified love of God expressed in the gift of His Son, our Savior. It is the undeserved love of God towards sinners. And remember, I said grace is what God gives us when we don't deserve it. Mercy is grace withholding from us what we do deserve, and that's condemnation and eternal death. And harmony and peace come when both of these are harmonized together. The grace of God. Let's look at chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 8-9, a little more closely. As we look at Ephesians 2:8-9, we see that these two popular verses in the Bible have been seen through the lens of history, and understanding their meaning has had great impact on our modern Christianity. However, there are some that suggest what these two verses teach is justification for a theological system of interpretation, and has historically and practically led to tragic consequences. However, let's look at what Ephesians 2:8-9 really stand for. Look closely back at the scripture. It's for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's examine then some of the words found in this scripture. For by grace are ye saved through faith. There are three components to this phrase that you need to look at. And if you've ever, back in school, had to diagram sentences, you can see the relationships of these components. First of all, by grace is a prepositional phrase that refers to why we are saved. Second, are ye saved is a verb which describes the verb are saved. The verb ye describes who are saved. If you put your name where ye, it means you, Joe, John, Mary, Jane, are saved through faith. And it tells us that it's because of God's grace he saved us, who through our faith now, and it's how, that we are saved. With this in mind, those of you who have diagram sentences can see that the subject of the phrase or the sentence is salvation. So we are saved by grace of God through faith. Notice now it says it's not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. This is where many people get so confused by these two verses. And they come up with alternative meanings. They wrongly define what the gift of God is. Therefore, we have to ask ourselves, what's being described by the word it? Some would say grace. Others would say faith. The key is to ask, what are those two components talking about? The answer, again, is saved or salvation. Remember, the first phrase is talking about why, who, and how God saved us. As we see now, in this context, the topic of this passage is salvation itself. Now, some claim that the gift of God is faith, but there are three problems with this. First, it ignores the context and structure of the first phrase and context. Second, they confuse that faith for salvation, and the faith is the fruit of the Spirit. These two aspects of faith are described in Hebrews 11:1, which says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's very interesting now that we're talking about the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11:1. It is the hope of salvation we have through faith in Jesus Christ. He is the one and only way to our salvation. We must learn the fact that it is through his promise of what he's been able to provide from the Father through the Son. And the Father sees our salvation through what the Son did on the cross for us. At the moment we're saved, God immediately gives us the Spirit of promise as the earnest and non-refundable guarantee of our inheritance. He seals us until the day of redemption. That's found in Ephesians chapter 1, 9-14, and Ephesians 4:30. The Holy Spirit then produces the evidence of things not seen, which is the fruit of the Spirit. And part of this fruit of the Spirit is faith, Galatians 5, 22-23. Since Ephesians 2, 1-8 is talking about salvation, it cannot be talking about the faith as the fruit of the Spirit, because we do not get the Spirit until immediately after God saves us. Therefore, the faith described in Ephesians 2, 8 is not a fruit of the Spirit received from God. It is the faith through God, which God saves us at the moment. We realize in our heart, of our hearts, that what God says about us needing salvation through Christ is true, and our notions of salvation by any other means are false. Now, the third and final problem with claiming that the gift of God is faith is that in the Greek language, like others, words can have masculine, feminine, or neuter genders. The word faith is feminine, this Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. In this context, phrase that is referring to what is being described. Since we have determined that the subject is salvation, the word that cannot be talking about faith. Likewise, the gender of the word that is neuter, not feminine, so it cannot be talking about faith, which has a feminine gender. Additionally, the gender of the word it is also neuter, so neither that or it can refer to faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Finally, we come to the end of Ephesians 2, 8, 9. This puts to rest any idea that Ephesians 2, 8, 9 is talking about anything other than salvation. We see over and over again that salvation is not of works. Therefore, it is not of works that no one can boast about saving themselves. This is made clear in Romans chapter 4, 1-5, where we are told that Abraham was declared righteous through his faith in what God said, not his works. It was the moment that Abraham realized in his heart of hearts that what God was saying was true, that his faith became the instrument through which God would save him. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you today, I ask you and I plead with you, come to the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith, so that ye might have Christ enter your hearts and save you from your sins. At this time, before Minister Linda comes in the second segment after the break, I'd like for you to listen to this special music by Candy Christmas and David Feltz, Jesus Saves.
Jesus saves, He still does. He'll make of you someone new, cleanse the sin that was. The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved, just believe it. Jesus saves. We talk of heaven's beauty, and that's good. We talk of loving others, and we should. But to dying world, the greatest thing that we can say is take a look at Calvary. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He still does. He'll make of you someone new, cleanse the sin that was. The
joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.